Ryan was scanning the narrow way in front of him, looking for some kind of sign. He caught sight of the knives, one blade just poking out of the mud and leaves enough to attract attention. What the hell was going on? Fire blast. If he'd been fooled in some way. Ryan tried to slow down, but he wasn't quite quick enough. His left foot caught in the concealed rope, the material stretching, then ripping from one tree trunk, wrapping itself around his foot, so that with every stumbling step, he became more and more entangled. His momentum was such that he pitched forward face first. He rolled onto his shoulder as he landed, aware that he had to fling himself to one side to prevent pitching into the knife trap. But on a path so narrow, this only sufficed to throw him against a tree trunk, his spine slamming against the hardwood, driving the breath from him. His head cracked against an edge of bark. Stars exploded in front of his eyes, and he found himself momentarily unsure as to who, where, and what he was. That moment was all the others needed. Rushing from their hiding places, the three companions swarmed over their leader, pinning him to the ground.
Ryan, lover, it's me!
Christie's red tresses flopped into his face, filling his nose and mouth with her scent.
We need to talk, and you need to listen.
He has had a blow on the head, which has possibly put him in a more receptive mood. Ryan, my friend, listen to me. We have been the victims of a most heinous trick.
Musket Jack. All his fault.
Ryan fought to regain senses that were swimming wildly around him, a sense of nausea rising in his gut. Jack tensed when he heard this, ready for the worst. He had a firm grip of the one-eyed man's legs, pinning him, keeping out of sight for the moment.
Why? What is all Jack's fault? Tell me, my friend, what is it that he is supposed to have done?
Nearly got us all chilled. Got us hunting. Lost JB and Mildred. Lost Dean.
No, Ryan, that was Ethan. The bastard who hypnotized us to hunt Jack. It's not us who want this, it's him. He's got Mildred and JB. He's got us doing this. And Dean was gone before we got here. It was Sharona who took him, remember?
Ryan looked at her, confusion clear on his face. He knew that there was something wrong with what he was feeling, what he was thinking, but it was something he found hard to pin down. Ryan's head reeled with more than just the trauma of the fall. He caught sight of Jack, the albino's head just visible as he held Ryan down. There was a sudden swell of anger within Ryan, as though he would rise up and strike down the enemy. But this was suddenly replaced by a realization that the albino was acting in tandem with Doc and Christie. They were working together. But surely... Suddenly, Ryan exploded, his muscles knotting with the sudden rush of adrenaline, his strength enhanced by his anger, enough to push Christie and Doc away, so that his torso rose up, leaving only his legs pinned by Jack's wiry strength.
Fireblast. That sick fuck son of a gaudy whore, Ethan.
Jack looked up, coming into eye contact with the one-eyed man. Ryan placed his hand on Jack's shoulder.
We'll get the cold-hard bastard for this.
Jack's impassive visage split into a grin, and he released his grip. Ryan rose to his feet and grabbed the albino by the shoulders, his imposing bulk dwarfing the teen.
Where is he? We'll get the bastard right now.
That way.
Jack indicated the direction in which Ryan had come.
And approaching fast. Figure we move quickly and take him.
Sounds good to me. There's 9 of them, right? That's only 2 apiece, with 1 unlucky fuck left. That's good odds in my book.
Things had all gone terribly wrong. What should have been the finest hunt he had staged, and the one that would begin to attract attention from across the Deathlands as the traders spread the word on their travels, was rapidly descending into a farce. Ethan was aware that the trader and Baron at his side were becoming more and more impatient as he tried to locate where Ryan had vanished. The trail he had taken was proving hard for horses to follow, and it seemed that the harder they tried to plow through the undergrowth, the more it wanted to fight back and prevent them making any progress. All 3 men were now covered in scratches and bruises, and the 2 riders accompanying the Pleasantville Baron were making it clear that it was not for such things that they had paid their jack.
Okay. So, we can't get any further through here. Look, we'll pull back and circle around this copse and see if we can make it any easier from the other side. Anyway, if the albino has been chased from both sides, then we may be able to catch the action as he makes a break for it.
The muttered comments of the 2 accompanying riders suggested that they didn't share Ethan's faith in getting some action. but they were tired and sore, and they welcomed the chance to pull out of the copse. As the riders moved out, Ethan was astonished to see six horsemen heading toward him at a trot. Riley Greyhorse and the barons and traders they had been assigned to protect.
What the hell are you doing?
He didn't realize that, although his comment was directed at his own sect men. It would be taken the wrong way by those who had paid good jack for a hunt they were not getting to see.
What are we doing? We're being ripped off, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, we ain't seen shit yet. And I'll tell you one thing. If there's three of the fuckers in there after one little scrawny albino, no matter how good he is, they're not making much of an effort at it.
Ethan stopped and held up his hand for silence. He listened intently. The copse was dense, but not that expansive, and any sounds that emanated from within wouldn't easily have been deadened by the surrounding greenery. But he could hear nothing. To all intents and purposes, there seemed to be nothing going on inside. He would have expected some kind of activity, even if the albino was proving adept at hiding himself. After all, there were three of them in there after him. If they were still after him. It hurt Ethan's ego to think that his hypnosis may have failed. So much so that he didn't even want to consider it. As far as he was concerned, Bones had taught him well. But then again, he'd never really had the chance to put it to this kind of test before. The Baron looked at the two sec men and the half-dozen paying huntsmen. Riley and Greyhorse were awaiting his cue, but there was no disguising the hostility on the faces of the men who had given him their hard-won and hard-earned jack for a spectacle that looked as though it had gone belly up on him.
Okay, people, there's been a little change of plan. It appears that the three hunters have turned on us and are back with their little white friend. So instead of watching the hunt, I figure it's about time that we got our blasters out and went on a little hunt of our own.
You saying what I think you're saying? We seen him try to hunt, and now we get to womp the shit out of him ourselves?
I don't think I could have put it better myself.
Ethan calmed the hunters with an imploring gesture.
Okay, if we're going to do this right, then I suggest you sort out among yourselves who you want to hunt. Meanwhile, I'll consult with my men.
The hunters joyfully agreed and huddled their horses together to argue among themselves about their targets. Meanwhile, Ethan gestured Greyhorse and Riley over and spoke to them in a low tone.
This is bad. This is very bad. Those four are hot, and if we lose any of these guys, then our reputation is shit, and we may very well end up in a war situation.
So what do you want us to do about it?
Greyhorse's ambiguous choice of phrase made it clear that he felt Ethan had brought this trouble on himself. Ethan ignored it. He could deal with his sect chief later. If there was a later.
I want you to make sure you get in first, ahead of these idiots. I want those four scum fucks chilled meat before these boys even get near them. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly.
Riley smiled coldly, thinking of his score to settle with Ryan.
Yeah, it'll be my fucking pleasure.